Hello, this is NY Bill, and I thought I would talk to everyone today about etching circuit boards. I haven't done this since I was in probably about 1985, a young teen. I used to have a book on guitar effects, so sometimes I would try and build these effects and etch my own circuit boards. Back then, I used to use Radio Shack kits, if anybody remembers them, back when Radio Shack used to actually sell things besides cell phones. It is a shell of its former self, but recently I ordered a Raspberry Pi, and I was also given a bricked router, a Linksys E2000. Well, a friend tried to put DDWRT on it, and it didn't fit, or something went wrong, and you can log in and access the control panel, but once you plug in the WAN or try and do anything with it, all the lights go crazy and it starts resetting itself. So the next step with that router is we're going to have to go in on the JTAG headers. Plus, these Arduinos and Raspberry Pis, a lot of interfaces these days are 3.3 volts. I've heard it referred to as UART or TTL, not the 5 volts coming out of USB. So looking online, I found lots of sellers that were selling little conversion boards for about $15 to $20. That's USB to 3.3 volt, but it seems like most of them are sold out, so... This must be the RPi craze, or people just can't keep stock. But I noticed that the chip that a lot of them are using is a FTDI chip. I'm familiar with this chip because at 2600's HOPE conference, Hackers on Planet Earth, not the one that just went by, but the one probably almost 3 years now, they do it every 2 years, the badges there were basically a microcontroller, and they would do things like RFID and they could track the people walking through the conference, all interesting things like that. But on the back of this badge, if you soldered on a mini USB, and then there was a space for this FT232RL, which is a USB interface chip, and you could turn the badge into a full microcontroller. So at the conference I did that, I did a sloppy job because I borrowed someone else's soldering pen, and I'm not sure if I had flux. I think we did it. Yeah, we had flux, but the pen had the big tip on it, and if you've ever seen some of these surface mount chips, they're so tiny. It's similar to the chips that are on, the leg spacing is similar to the chips you'd see on a memory stick. It's almost impossible to solder these things. But I did solder it onto the, to that HOPE badge, and I was able to plug it in USB, and it identified itself, and well, that's as far as I got. Now, looking into these converters, these USB to the 3.3 volt, I'm seeing they're using this chip again, and I'm familiar with it. I've looked at the data sheet, and I'm somewhat familiar with the functionality of it, and I found a schematic, and because I can't order any of these boards at the moment, everybody's back-ordered, I figured, why don't I try and make one? So I ordered a few of these ICs, and I went to a local electronic supply store. I can't believe that these guys are still around. My grandfather used to shop there. This old, big, huge, old, dusty place that's probably got all kinds of neat things back on the shelves. But I was able to go there, and I picked up a very small soldering tip. I picked up some single-side copper clad, and the rest I either had at home, or I was able to get at hardware stores or pharmacy stores, or I'll go into that in a second. So the first thing you'd need to do in etching a board is to come up with a design. You can either come up with it on your own or look online. There might be some schematics you can get or board layouts you can get. I recall back in when I used to do this as a teen, there was a resist pen. It kind of looked like a Sharpie, and you could just basically hand draw your layout. That's what I used to do. Just hand draw your layout on the copper, and you'd have a resist layer. So when you go to etch it with acids, the acid would eat away all the copper except for where you drew. It turns out that inkjet and copiers, and anything that, I want to make sure I'm saying the right type of printer here, anything that uses a toner, I said the wrong thing. Laserjet or copier. So anything that uses that powdered black toner, this will also act as a resist for you. So you either look for a board layout that you can use, or you design your own. There is some design software specifically for use for making PCB boards, and some of them you can even design your layout and then click a button and order the board, and the file goes off, and in the mail comes a pre-made board. But I'm kind of doing it low-tech here, so but it still works just fine. For a low-production home type of hobby thing, this procedure works just fine. So take your layout and or design it. I found the 28-pin surface mount breakout board, which is what that FT232RL is. I dragged that into Inkscape, imported it into Inkscape, made it an SVG so I could scale it up and down, and because you're going to have to get this just right to the print size. So I printed a couple of those, and then looking at the data sheet for the chip, I realized these are so tiny to try and solder these. It was going to help me to take it one step further, and looking at the data sheet, I found that it looks like I'm only going to be using breaking out 11 of these 28 pins, and then there's some other pins that are utilized, but they're just one breakout to a ground, and then ground traces go through. So I took that breakout board layout that I found, and I brought that into GIMP, and I just I culled away all the traces that I didn't need, and then I drew some of my own lines because it's even the board is so small, so I extended some of the lines and put in spots for resistors and capacitors that are going to need to go in there. So I kind of designed my own board. So in any way you get your file and you get it to size, you're going to want to print it up on photo paper, like for printing photographs. It's, I believe, my theory is the shininess isn't going to absorb the toner like a regular paper would. So then it's kind of sitting on the surface, and what you've basically made is an iron-on. Now, you're going to have to take special care here. If, like, the first image you're going to see, the breakout board in the show notes, if it's symmetrical, it doesn't really matter. But on the second image that I drew, because of the way the chip's going, I had to invert the image to print, because then when you're going to flip it over and you're going to iron it onto the board, things are going to get backwards. So just take extra care. If your print goes bad, or if your ironing goes bad, or if your print's backwards, if the lines get smudged, if at any point up to this point things aren't going well, you just take some lacquer thinner and you can just clean the board right off and just start again. Print again, iron on again. You haven't gotten to a point where you can't get back yet. Now, I should say here, you might need to do a little experimenting. Not all photo papers seem to be the same. I had three kinds here. A few different kinds of Canon, a generic Staples, and Epson, I believe. The Staples one ended up, you're going to want glossy in any case. The Staples one ended up being the best. Nice clean lines and a nice clean transfer. The other ones either didn't transfer so well, or one of them was like, it wasn't even a paper. It was like made out of plastic, and it just melted right to the copper, and that one just made a total mess. I also saw online that some people had success using just ordinary glossy magazine paper. You can cut that out and run it through your printer, and there you'll have your iron-on transfer. I'll also say something here. I'll save everyone a little bit of time. Don't try and run your photo paper through more than once. I printed such a small design, I thought I could flip the paper over and reuse it. Somehow, on the first run through, it gets activated in some way that the second time through, it just picks up like random toner and starts to get this gray cast to it, and the traces will be very heavy lines, and it's best just to practice on regular paper, and once you think you got everything right, then send your photo paper through. Another trick I was doing was my copper board was 4 inches by 6 inches, and I was able to fit multiple copies of my images on the plate. So in Inkscape, I stacked my images up. Then when you're doing your iron transfer, depending on the heat of the iron or how much pressure you're putting, some images might come out too faded, some might too thick, but you should find at least one of your prints came out nice and clean. So for transferring the print, you just use an ordinary clothes iron. Some people used a a laminator, but I don't have one. Clothes iron works fine. I don't know if you want to tell your wife you're using it for this, but I did it discreetly. Sorry, Mrs. NY Bill. I hope I didn't mess up the iron next time she goes to do a shirt or something. But yeah, you just set the iron like pretty up high. I was in between the two highest settings. I don't know what that was, linen or something. Let the iron heat up. You're gonna have to push down on this a bit, so you wouldn't use the ironing board. Use an old book or something. Have your copper plate on there. Make sure you got your layout on the board. You know, you don't want any traces leaning off the boards or left or right. And then just put the iron straight down on it and keep the heat on for, I don't know, I guess I did 10 or 12 seconds. And that's going to kind of stick. It's going to heat up the toner. It's going to heat up the board. And it's going to stick the two together. And after that, then you can start, you know, moving back and forth. And I gave it a good, you can bear down on it a bit. And I gave it probably a good 35 or 40 seconds of heat. You can actually cheat if you want. Just lift up the paper slightly in one corner and see if the traces are sticking. If they're not, a little more heat. If they're sticking, you might be good. Just give a little more heat for good luck there, and let things cool a little bit, and then submerge the board in water. You'll go back in 5 minutes and see the photo paper just starting to come translucent and starting to peel, lift up. A point you feel comfortable, you can just peel the stuff off. There's some of it's going to stick, and you can rub pretty vigorously on the traces without damaging them. I wouldn't use your fingernail or any metal tool or anything, but you can just, as much as you want with your thumb, just roll this paper off until you get a clean board. So the next part is going to be etching, and this is more... Oh, I just realized I left out... Well, I'm sure you're not doing this as I'm talking, so let me just backtrack a little bit. After you've printed your photo, printed your traces, don't touch the traces with your finger. Oils will come off, and that's no good. When you get your copper board, you're going to want to scuff it up, probably with Scotch-Brite. I suppose you could use sandpaper, but you don't want to introduce impurities. But some copper boards have a coating on them to keep them from tarnishing or oxidizing in the package. So you want to clean that off, and then... Right before you iron on, use rubbing alcohol, just to make sure you get all the oils and impurities off. So keep everything nice and clean. Okay, now we fast forward back to where I was a minute ago. So it's on to etching. I used to use ferric chloride way back when. It's still around. It's a brown, nasty acid that will stain your fingers and your clothes and whatever else you get it on. And you can actually, I recall seeing like vapors coming off, stuff you don't want to breathe in. You're going to want to do all this in a safe, ventilated area anyways. Some newer methods I saw online. One seemed pretty tame. It was hydrogen peroxide, vinegar, and salt. And the people claimed you could do that right on your kitchen table. I'm going to go for a middle ground, which is one part muriatic acid and two parts hydrogen peroxide. And you have your etching solution. So I did mine in a glass Pyrex, and you slip the board in. It's going to be clear, the mixture is going to be clear, and as the board is etching, it kind of turns green. It actually, I wouldn't get down there and smell it, but it reminds me of actually the ocean when the tide is out, and there's all the tidal pools and the seaweeds and stuff. For some reason, it smells like that, but I'm getting off track. So stick your board in there. You're going to want to wear some heavy latex gloves or chemical gloves. Then just rock. Whatever dish you're using back and forth. You can't use any metals or metal tongs, or try and stick with plastics or glass. And slowly the copper will start to fade away. It starts to fade away at the edges first and slowly goes in, and what you'll be left with is just the black toner traces that you had. So reach in with your gloves or however you're going to get this board out, and then clean it up with water mixed with baking soda. That'll neutralize the acid and clean the board, get it ready so you can hand handle it. And then the next step is to clean the toner off. So that's just lacquer thinner. It just couple swipes and it goes away. Now you should have a nice clean PCB with nice clean copper traces that will oxidize on you. So depending on the size of your traces again, if you can cover them with flux, get out your soldering pen, some solder, and go over the whole top of them. Another thing you can get is tinning fluid. So it's a Well, the one I bought is a two-part powder. I guess one's a salt and who knows what's in there. And you mix it with hot water and you stick your board in there and all the copper traces will get tinned. And this method really gives a nice, clean, professional-looking result. The next step would be drilling out your holes. They have special bits for this because at the hardware store I could only go down to 1/16, but some of these holes are quite tiny. So I went back over to that local electronics place, or you can get these online. They have special little bits for drilling out PCBs. So you're going to want to look into those because when I tried to do it with a 16th-inch bit, even though it looked like it would drill a slightly large hole, but it looked like there would be enough copper around the pad to still solder to. Once the larger bit starts hitting the copper, it just starts ripping it off the board. So there you have it. It's a few steps. Besides design-wise, the actual ironing on traces and etching probably takes 20 minutes. You can get fancier with this. You can do two-sided boards. You're going to have to watch how you lay your traces and design. There is another method of getting traces onto a board. They sell pre-sensitized copper plates, which have a photoresist on top of them that's UV sensitive. I haven't tried this yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I bought a few of the plates and the developer that's needed. You can print on a clear acetate and then lay that over the photosensitive resist, hit it with UV light, and anywhere the light is penetrating will soften the resist, and that can be cleaned off with the developer, and then you can bring that board to etching. I guess what I'm saying is the hardest part is layout and design, and the etching is just a few chemicals, a little bit of time, and you are fabricating circuit boards at home. So like I said, check the show notes if you're interested. I'll put up links to some of the places I found designs or parts, or and I'll link to some photos of my process here. So if anybody has any questions or wants to contact me, I am nybill@gunmonkeynet.net. I know the two nets are redundant, but everything else was taken, and I find it kind of funny, but okay. Till next time. See you later, guys.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.